Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called How to Transform Your Mess. This episode, I have a bunch of things to speak on. I've decided to go at things a little bit in a different method this time. I'm going to take the questions that I've been getting within my groups, and I'm going to try to address a lot of them specifically in here. So I'm excited about this new way of doing things. Happy to have you here, guys. Here we go. So yeah, I've been getting all kinds of great questions within my Facebook group. As I promised, I've been trying to open the doors and let people back into that group. I've been so terrible. I think about 400 people are left still waiting, but I got through easily 100 or more yesterday. I'm getting there. I am getting there. And with this new influx of people into the group, there's all kinds of new questions and some old that are recirculating. So I want to try to hit on all of those questions and help people through their stuck points. And the mess part, boy. So here's the thing about a mess. Try to take your mess, turn it into a message, right? That's kind of what I do. There's a lot of messes in everybody's life. If you're denying that things get messy, then you know what? You're not really taking a close look, because I think we all get messy. And it's what you do with that mess. Like, turn it into something, you know? Figure it out. Learn and grow. A good friend of mine and I have been making this our year of self-growth, and we kind of call each other out on being accountable when we sort of slip back into bad patterns and stuff. Constantly pushing ourselves, though, to forward push, learn and grow. Why is this in your world? So whenever something happens in your life, look at it, because it's really an opportunity to fix something. And if you're seeing conflict around you and other people, it's still a reflection of something in you. And that's why it has come into your, you know, your energetic circle. So just instead of trying to fix other people, try to see what you can fix about yourself. And if you're constantly doing that, there's no doubt in my mind that you'll be constantly growing and improving. So I think that in of itself is just a great way to approach things. But I did do an Instagram post, and I don't ever do Instagram stuff. I don't even like Instagram. I don't like social media, guys. I know I say this a bunch, but man, I feel like we all need to be a little more in the real world. But I did put something on Instagram. I can't even remember why. I think it was like sometimes when I'm just trying to pump myself up, I think I put messages in there. So if I open it up, I see it, you know, like a reminder. But it was about putting your life on hold, you know. And so you can't put your life on hold for other people forever. You do have to find a way to eventually see something that can come of value for you or the other person out of the situation, or just be done with it, right? But I do want to kind of talk about, because this reminds me of another topic I wanted to get in today, because it has to do with one of the questions that I was given. So, okay. So let me see, I'm looking, I'm scrolling here. Maybe this wasn't the best method of a way to do this, but it's about communication, really. At the end of the day, it's about communication. So let me start with this. I got a bug bite when I got like 3 bug bites when I was in Hawaii. And let me just tell you, there's no bugs right now. I was like the one person, I felt like, I don't know, they must love that New Hampshire blood or something, because I got bit bad. And one of them disappeared almost as quickly as I got it. That was the one that I swatted at, so I knew it bit me. And then I had one on my leg and one right under my mouth on my face. And that one itched so bad. And I'm not kidding when I say it was only like a few days ago that it finally fully went away. And even after it went away, the itch was there for like another day. So I don't know what got me. Here's what I do know, is that the reason I got this bug bite is because I am not afraid. Like, I could have stayed inside the big bug net like everybody else, right? Like, people that weren't getting bit, that's because they were sitting inside. They were like, you know, observing from the observation tower type of thing. I am not afraid to go get bug bites and explore. I'm just not. Like, have you guys ever seen the Disney Cars movie? And Mater talks about all of his dents. Don't fix those dents, because every one of them's a memory. That's how I live my life. Like, I feel like scars and bug bites and all that, that is like a sign that you are living life, right? So it brings me to this comment that I'm hearing inside my group often about, especially like older group members or ones that are, I shouldn't even say older because I've heard this out of people in their 30s and 40s even, but no matter what age you're at, you're older than you were when you met your first love. So their first love has now passed and now they're entering the dating pool again. And they're saying to me, there's all these insecurities coming up. I'm not this beautiful, young, toned up, you know, now I have wrinkles. Now I have scars. Now I have the gray hair. Now I have the stretch marks from having my kids. Who's going to want me now? Oh, that kills me to hear that. Let me tell you right now, what you're insecure about, someone else will probably love about you. I actually, even last night, it's so funny. I was exercising and I couldn't touch the television remote. The TV was still on from when my kids were up and I was going to turn it off, but the Bachelorette or whatever it is was on. And the girl was even talking about her messy hair or something. And the Bachelor said to her, "Oh no, that's what I actually love the most about you." And she was so insecure about it. And it reminded me because I personally love when somebody has those, what are they called, crow's feet? The wrinkles at the side of your eyes. I think that's such an attractive thing. And why? Because it means you smile a lot. It shows like the good energy, good vibes, love, whatever. I just find that such an attractive quality. But someone else would like be using like thousands of dollars on creams to try to remove these. Do you see where I'm going with this? Like, whatever you're insecure about, you could be insecure about the size of your back end. I'm just going to try to keep it clean so I don't get the explicit label. you know what I mean? And someone else could be like, oh my gosh, I love a big back end. That's my favorite quality. That's all I'm saying is whatever your insecurity is, just embrace it. Love who you are. Because that's the only way that you're going to bring in someone who's going to love who you are anyway. But the confidence is what's attractive. You know, knowing who you are, loving who you are, that's an attractive quality. But don't think that because things have changed, because you don't feel as attractive as you once did, that that means you're somehow not going to attract a quality partner. That breaks my heart to hear that. And I hear it all the time, guys, all the time, way too much. So get out of your head about that, please. Yeah, I'm going to the next question here because I feel like I said enough on that, but you know where I'm going with this. It really is, it's too bad to see people not put themselves out there because they don't feel enough. You are enough. Don't change things about you. Look for somebody who's going to love those things about you. And if you can find somebody who looks at you and loves the qualities in you that are the things that give you insecurity, then, I mean, that's the magic, right? So, all right. So my next thing is a comment that came up in the group around giving, and I'm always giving to others and I feel like I give and I give and I give and yet I don't get back in return. So that got me thinking about something, and I've been guilty of this. I think we all have been. But even if you've always been there for someone, that doesn't mean they owe you anything back. Just because you're giving doesn't mean that you are owed something. And here's the best example of this, because this is a big one. A lot of people do things, so this goes back to that Instagram post I was talking about. People put their life on pause because of others. And then they expect something. So let me give an example. When someone says something like, "When my mom passes, I'll take that trip, but I'm caring for her right now." Well, first off, I want to pause on that one because that's an awful thing to place on somebody as a pressure. Like, that feeling, even if you never verbalize it, will excuse me, be experienced by your mother who you're caring for. That feeling of your life is on hold and you're waiting for her passing in order to go live your life, she will feel that, and that's not fair. When the kids are out of the house, I'll go back to work. Again, it's like saying, I have this, desire, I guess, to do something else, to go back to work, to contribute, to, you know, go share my gift, but I'm going to wait until my kids are all the way out of the house. Like, that could be 12 years, you know, waiting for the kids to go back to school. And I did this. I put my career, which I was very career driven, But once my oldest was born, oh my gosh, I fell in love with that baby. And I couldn't foresee placing that on the next tier down, you know, below my career. So I kept it at the top and I just stayed a stay-at-home mom. And I always said, well, once they're both in school, then I'll go back. Once they're, well, there was always something I kept pushing my dream off and shelving it. And that's not even fair to the kids, you know? It really isn't, because again, you don't want to be saying that you're holding back your life because of somebody, because there is that element that is felt always. Like, you don't want your kids to feel like mom's not fully happy, and she would be if not for me. That's an awful thing, right? Or how about like when we don't have dogs anymore, we'll move. Or when he puts a ring on my finger, I'll relocate. So boundaries are good. But walls and expectations, those gotta go, right? So it's like, it is good to know your limitations and those boundaries and like, okay, if let's say you have been waiting on that ring or whatever, it is fine to be like, you know, I'm not going to make this big change until they commit to like a full life with me, or like all those things are fine. But if you're expecting something, if your heart and, you know, if you have like made these stone walls around, like, no, it has to be my way or nothing, that's not going to get you what you want. And as a matter of fact, I really think that you're going to find yourself actually missing out on having that good relationship and enjoying the present. You know what I mean? And it's not to say that it's not healthy to have boundaries, because if you clearly know what you need and you want, communicating that's important. But this is where it comes back to communication. So communication could have been the whole theme of today, because, man, when you don't talk about things, the unsaid, it's usually those unsaid things that could change everything. If you're sitting there and thinking to yourself, like, let me give a great example. I'm going to take an example from the group again. And you know what I'm going to start doing, I think, is giving these names, like, you know, Sally's question today, da 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 da. And just to keep it anonymous for her sake, I'll just reach out to Tina or whatever and let her know, hey, you're Sally this week, so that's what you got to listen for. But just so I can keep it straight, because the craziest part, guys, is that I'll get like 3 questions on the same topic in a week. Or I'll get 1 question, I'll do a podcast on it, and then I hop back in the group and they're like, oh, I heard you talking about my situation. And I'm like, oh, no, that was actually so-and-so's situation. No, I would never reveal whose situation it really is. But in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, wow, they really related to this topic, even though it had nothing to do with them. So this is across the board. I mean, communication, my gosh. Communication, I would say, is the biggest barrier and blockade in any relationship. When I say relationship, I mean parent teacher, I mean kid parent, I mean mother and son, I mean relationships, I mean boss and employee. Every single time, communication is almost always where the lack falls. And the crazy part is, in our own selves, I feel like we have a solid feeling around like what our expectations are, what our boundaries are, what our feelings on something are. But when we don't communicate it, it's amazing what gets left on the table, or the assumptions that follow from the other party. I gotta take my bracelet off. Sorry, I'm making all kinds of racket. But because I'm French, I talk with my hands, so you guys can't see me, but I'm like all animated while I'm talking. I gotta take off all noisemakers. Oh boy. So, okay, back to it. Sorry. So I'm gonna use an example from somebody within the group who was talking about how their partner wanted to marry them. Now, they had just gone through a loss, and they were receiving money from Social Security, and if they remarried, they would lose that money. And if they lost that money, they would lose their home. Now, they never communicated that to the partner. They just kept saying, I can't get married. Now, what do you think the partner was thinking? Well, they were thinking it was connected to this loss, that they didn't want to get remarried again because, you know, they had just lost their spouse or whatever. None of it was discussed. Now, she's discussing it within our group, but none of it was discussed amongst themselves. So here he is thinking she's just denying me or denying this commitment or denying this future with me, or not wanting to go at it again. And all she was thinking was, I need to do the right thing for my kids. I need to maintain my home and not lose it. I need this financial security. And all it would have taken was one conversation. Because here's what's amazing. For all she knows, he could be sitting pretty financially, right? She could be in a very rough situation where it's like a not paycheck to paycheck, but a social security check to social security check situation. Now, if she had told him that was her fear or that was the problem, he could have easily come back and said, I mean, I have that much to give and more and would happily help you with that. To, you know, we can combine our finances, or even if it's not a combining finances, like, I'm willing to make sure that, like, I contribute that much to replace what you'll lose. But you being with me now is more important to me, you know, than shelving this for 8 years till your kid's out of the house or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, the communication is the part that kills me. Because why was this an issue? It was an issue because everybody wanted to hold their own personal stuff close to their chest. And in her mind, she was protecting him because she knew he would try to do that. She didn't want to put him in a position where he financially felt like he needed to step up and take care of her. You know, there was all these assumptions trickling down. And in reality, if you asked him, like, what matters more to you, you know what I mean? He easily, obviously, he wanted to make her his wife. Obviously, he cared more about her. So that was just really hard to see. And I can't say it enough. Just talk, put it out there. You know, at the end of the day, you don't want to have an opportunity pass and then think, well, I never even really spoke my truth around this. You know, if you have strong feelings for somebody, holding on to them because you're afraid it's going to blow up their world or it's going to, you know, change the dynamic, or, oh no, what if, like, this, our friendship's never the same because I vocalize this and then we can't go back if they can't unhear it. You could miss out on so much because they might be sitting with those same feelings. And if they're not, they might already recognize that you feel the way you do. It might not actually change anything, or it could change everything. And they could say, wow, you feel that too. I've been feeling that for the past 3 years. What have we been doing? Well, what have you been doing? You've been wasting your time. That's what you've been doing. Start communicating, you know? And around the grief stuff, so many people are afraid to talk to us about what is going on. You know, what, nobody wants to bring it up, put it that way. It's like the elephant in the room. Nobody discusses, but everybody knows is there. And I just had a brand new member yesterday. First thing they said was, you know, I want to talk about this. I think their role, I don't want to give away too much about their personal life, but was an authority type of role. And because of that, they were always sort of in the role of helping others. But in this grief way, they wanted the support. They wanted people to keep talking about their loved one and not forget them. And nobody ever brought it up to them because they were afraid to bring up a sore subject or something that could emotionally hurt them. So they said nothing. So they were so happy to join the group where they could openly discuss this and talk about all the stuff without people tiptoeing, you know? So people want the communication. People want to talk about things. So, you know, you can help by just opening up those lines. You won't know until you try. I mean, for me personally, if I fell in love with the perfect person, what I would do, I put love above all else, and y'all know this. I would move heaven and earth to make something happen for the person that I love. So I would sit for 5 years. I would sit back and I would wait for them. If they had scenarios that had to, like, I mean, not in a situation like we were just talking about where it could easily be solved, you know, then that's a little frustrating, because if it's as simple as, like, all you have to do is, you know, take that leap of faith and then financially, like, I can help you out or whatever. That'd be frustrating, of course. But what I'm saying is, if there's a real situation that can't be worked out, there's some type of, like, I don't know what situations can't be worked out, guys. Sometimes I think we put too many, again, walls around things, but I think most situations can be worked out. But if there was something that truly, like, you have to wait 5 years and then you can have it, there's only one thing that would hold me back from that. Only one thing. And that's if I didn't know how that other person felt, right? If they didn't communicate to me, like, I love you and I want this with you, that's all I'd have to hear, right? Think about it for a second. Like, there's nothing else. Like, I will wait then. I'll let all the other situation, like all the other stuff and circumstances around it fall away. I will sit patiently. But what I won't sit patiently for is if I don't know that's reciprocated, if I don't know how the person's feeling, if they haven't communicated, like, this is how I feel, I'm trapped, but this is how I feel about you. You know, if you know that, imagine though how patient someone could be. But often conflict and argument comes up when somebody's holding back information. They're not communicating. They're not letting you know where they stand. They're not telling you where the barriers lie. They're trying to deal with it all internally and on their own because, you know, I'm a man, I'm a woman. I should be able to like handle my stuff. This isn't your problem, it's mine. But that feeling of like needing to deal with it within self and not sharing it with the person that you love, not only does it add more burden on your plate, it adds it on theirs because it's limiting the ability for anything to have forward motion or a good outcome because you're on the struggle bus of trying to fix and solve and find and or just, you know, turn your back on a situation. And all the while, your person's just in the dark, you know? So maybe they have the perfect solution to all of that. And maybe by not sharing with them your feelings, they've just decided to walk away. Now you have a missed opportunity. You see where I'm going with this? Like, you really just, the communication part has to be there. Because like I said, I mean, for me anyway, I just think that there's nothing I wouldn't do for somebody. But I will not stand in trying to do that for somebody if I don't know my feelings are fully reciprocated. That's like the only thing I would need. And, you know, this is where communication gets fuzzy because in my world, I would communicate that as a commitment. Like, I need a commitment from somebody. But really what I'm saying is I just need to know where your heart lies. It's not like I need to be in a relationship for the next 5 years. I need to know that you even care. You know what I mean? But if the communication isn't clear, someone could hear commitment and say, oh, I'm already too bogged down. In the next 5 years, I've got this, this, and this, and it's crazy. And so, no, you know, and really when I say commitment, here's what I mean. So this is where communication is important. I want to get into this in the second half because this was another question that I've answered this one several times and it keeps coming up. It tells me people aren't listening. And you know why I think that is? Because you don't like the answer I keep giving on it. Because there's this question of the one person wanting commitment, the other person wanting freedom, and the two clashing and what's going on here and that relationship style. The specific question was about avoidant and anxious attachment styles. So I'll get into that in the second half. Don't go anywhere. All right, guys. This is the month. I'm doing my hypnosis sessions and I am releasing them and I'm getting revved up. My schedule is already filling up with people who are just reaching out behind the scenes, which is exciting because I haven't actually made my website live yet, which means you still have a little bit of time, by the way, to get my bonuses. I have put together a few video bonuses to support the hypnosis sessions, and those will be free for anybody who purchases one of my hypnosis sessions and mentions this podcast. So make sure that you send me an email. I'll put my email in the description of today's podcast and so that you can reach out and let me know to add that bonus on if you should decide to purchase. All right, guys, back to the show. Okay, so back to these relationship styles, and I am no expert on this subject, guys. I'm telling you, if you're wanting the relationship types and all that, like the specifics and this, I'm not your girl. I'm just going to talk on the few points that have been brought to me that I've done some research on and that I've had my own experience with, and I'll just share with you what I learned. So I don't know why you guys come to me with some of this stuff. It kind of cracks me up. But anyway, here we go. As far as the anxious attachment style, I can relate to this because I think I fall into this category, or at least I used to. I've been working on myself. But the anxious attachment style is interesting because they're usually the ones that are wondering why you're not texting back. And like, you get a little anxious around things that, Like, you create your own story. It's like, if you're not going to fill in the blanks for me, I'm going to fill them in all on my own. And it's going to be with all my past stuff, all that subconscious layers. This is where my hypnosis could come in handy. All those subconscious layers of old stories that sort of play back in your mind. I have a dear friend who always thinks it's because the guy's out with another girl and cheating. That never even occurs to me, because that's not really my past. But my past is, you know, if I haven't heard from somebody, I don't even know where my brain used to go. I'm trying to think, like, what story did I create? I don't know. But I do like to, like, if you're expecting to hear from somebody and then things have changed, that might be it. Like, then I start wondering if it's a bigger reflection of, you know, the whole relationship dynamic changing. But anyway, so there's a little anxiety there around, and a little bit of, like, issues around controlling the situation. Some of you are going to find that you're a blend of these different things, which is very typical. But anyway, so there's some, you know, issues around control, and then there's this avoidant, which is sort of like the runner chaser dynamic, where, like, somebody's coming at you, as soon as somebody starts, like, it's almost like you'll go after them. And then the second they turn and look at you, you're out. So those are the avoidants, you know, or, like, don't want to be nailed down to a commitment because it feels like a loss of freedom to them. Now, in both scenarios, these are not healthy attachment styles. There is something called a secure attachment, which is somebody who can securely be attached. So what does that look like? I mean, a secure attachment is where, just because somebody acts a certain way, you don't put it on yourself. That's big. So for instance, around the idea of commitment. Now, oftentimes your anxious attachment style people are wanting and pushing for commitment, and the avoidants are avoiding the commitment. Now, let's talk about communication around this. It would be so simple if we could just talk about it. Because again, like, you have some of these anxious attachments want the commitment. This is what I always wanted, a commitment. For me, it's security and it's safety. It is feeling chosen. And I think this is true for a lot of anxious attachments. You want to be feeling like your person is all in on you. Now, no matter what the reasoning is, like, for my friend, it's because she doesn't want him looking at every other woman. For me, it has nothing to do with worrying about that somebody's going to, like, look around for something else. It's more about, to me, that I feel like they are committing to just wanting me to be their person. Like, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's millions of reasons as to why somebody might want it. But if you don't communicate the why you want it, you could be missing out on the relationship. Because for me, if I just want to feel like I'm chosen, maybe just verbalizing, I do pick you, you are my person, this is what I want. And then the commitment kind of falls away, because, boy, I just got what I was looking for from the commitment through your words. For my friend who wants to know that they're the only one and that he's not out with a different girl every night, for her, maybe it's not that commitment that she needs, or the ring on her finger, or a, you know, we're in a relationship, you're my girlfriend, as much as, like, she wants, when you are introducing her to your friends, to be introduced as, this is my person, like, so that other people know, because that gives her security around feeling like, okay, he's not afraid to say I'm taken. You know what I mean? So that when other people proposition him or whatever, that he's going to say, I'm already in something with someone else, like, I'm not available. That's what she needs. So then when being introduced, you know, maybe then the person would have a little more compassion around how they're saying it, like, not this is my friend or whatever, because I feel like in her mind, she translates that to, okay, so this, they see me as just a friend, and they're communicating to the other people in their world that I'm their friend. And so it still gives the appearance that they're available. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, just the communication around it. And if you understand from this avoidant person why commitment terrifies them, maybe if they communicated that bit, like, I don't love commitment because every time I get into a commitment, that's when things start to fall apart. Well, what are the things that start falling apart? Well, as soon as I'm in a commitment, all of a sudden my person stops, you know, trying so hard. They don't put in as much effort into how they look. So then, like, that attraction dies off. Then guess what can happen? The person on the other end can put in more effort into, you know, their appearance and their, you know, and that attraction part, and or if it's like, well, every time I'm in a commitment, that person ends up leaving me, then you can have conversations around expectations and security and making them feel safe and like, I'm not going anywhere, like I'm gonna choose you every day. Like those conversations can happen and make the person feel better. So those conversations never happen if you just keep your reasoning close to you. So anytime there's a clash or a conflict around where you're moving things in a relationship, or sorry, I've got an itch underneath my headset, or it's probably that bug bite. Anyway, anytime you're not seeing eye to eye on that, I would say it's probably a communication barrier. Because as soon as it's out there, the conversations that can heal us and heal those old wounds and subconscious patterns, they come up. And when things come up, that's when you can heal it. You have to reveal it to heal it, right? So if you don't bring it up, that's an opportunity, right? This is a new, I just got a new certification yesterday. Well, I can't say that. I'm going to knock on wood. I haven't gotten the results of my exam yet. I think I just got another certification yesterday. I'm hoping. And this is a big piece of it, is that bringing it to the surface is a way to heal things. So keep doing that. And be grateful when you're able to do that, because that's how you can move through things. But if you don't communicate and you just hold on to your stuff really tightly, you could miss out on so much. And that's what kills me to watch. You know, there's so many people that are so close to finding their happily ever after, or their, you know, whatever's gonna make them feel really good. Like, if you wanna go back to work, go back to work. You know, don't hang it up on someone else as though they're the thing that's holding you back. You know what I mean? And there's resentment that starts there. Like when your mom lasts 2 decades and you've been caring for her and you've been saying, well, I'm not doing this until my mom passes because I'm her primary caregiver. And then she ends up living on this earth for 2 more decades. What a blessing and a gift. And you want to be able to view that as a blessing and a gift, not a hindrance, not a... Yeah, I mean, my mom was here for, you know, 20 extra years, and feeling like because of that, I never got to do this thing. So don't put that on people. You know what I'm saying? Sorry for the background noise, by the way. It's another parent-teacher conference day, so my kids are home. Anyway, the sounds of life in the background. But that's why you're not hearing the snorting dog either, because he is happy to hang with them instead of me. So he goes where the joy is. And right now I think they're tipping the scale in their favor down there, having a blast. So that's a good thing. But anyway, guys, yeah. So you have to communicate your feelings and then watch the magic unfold, honestly, because people are far more compassionate than we give them credit for. Way better, like way more understanding when they understand and know. And it does kind of go back to what I was saying around like me filling in the blanks when I don't know the answer. I do that. I think a lot of us do that because we can only assume if nobody's going to give us the knowledge and the information. So all we can do is fill in the blanks with what we can assume. And if you don't want that, you don't want people assuming they know your situation or whatever, then fill them in. There's no harm in it, you know? Holding things really tight to the vest, chest, whatever that saying is, it doesn't really serve anybody. It definitely adds more onto your plate to have to try to handle and manage. And it usually ends up in like miscommunications that will eventually surface anyway. In the long run, a lot of this stuff usually comes out, and usually those are where regrets are formed from, because we look back and go, oh, we just missed out on a whole decade. We could have been doing this. We could have had you working for us. We could have had, you know, moved to this beautiful location years ago. If only, you know, whatever it is, if only we had known the information then. Don't look back someday and go, darn it, I should have said something. I should have spoken up. I should have said why I was feeling that way. I should have told him that I had these social security checks. I should never, because then guess what might happen? He might find his happily ever after and be moved on by the time that that situation has changed for you. And then you could find out like that he had the means to help you, or that he would have rather that than wait. Whatever it is, you just have to tell your truth. And so back to the topic of today is like turning the mess into a message. When things get super messy, this is what I mean by it. Like the communication is the message, right? So when things feel messy and hard to do, and there is somebody in your inner circle that, you know, you just talking to them about it oftentimes brings resolution. You know, that's how that message can really fix the mess. Because maybe even a good friend, maybe just bouncing something off of them and being like, hey, here's what I'm thinking of doing. They could say something that had just never occurred to you. They could remind you of something so big. Like, you could spend your whole life waiting. Because I know people who've done this. And they feel like, I've committed to X, Y, and Z, so I got to see this through. Here's a great example. I'll use a basketball example. I said I would coach this team for the next 6 years, and everybody's relying on me to be doing this, and so I've got to see it through. There's kids that came here just to play on my team, and I've got to see this commitment through. But now, all of a sudden, the perfect situation just popped up over, you know, in LA, and here I am in Boston, and I'm feeling like, nope, I've got to stay committed to this because I committed to it and people are depending on me. And all the while, if you had just said, maybe to the, you know, a head coach that works with you, or maybe to like one of the players' parents who, you know, their player came just to play on your team or whatever it is. And if you had said to them, hey, here's the situation that came up, you know I've committed to this, so I'm going to see this through. But, you know, oh man, it's too bad of the timing because I really would have done this. You might be astonished. For all you know, the head coach already knows somebody that could replace you that might even have been a step up above you that was like asking and begging for that job, but you're already in it. And you know what? They could fill in there. You could go do your dream thing and whoop, magic. Or that parent could say, you know what? I think you should pursue that. And actually, we were thinking of moving to LA and maybe he'll end up getting to play on your team after all. Like, the things that you don't know, it's just communication opens up your eyes. It gives you all of the information to work with. You know, maybe you feel like you're doing it for them and all the while they're hanging out there waiting for you. And really, they kind of wanted to go to LA, but they didn't, they really wanted their kid to stay on your team. So it's like, I don't know if I got to, sometimes when I have a specific scenario in my head, like hopefully I explain the details of that so you could follow along with that story a little bit. But my point is that if you feel like you're carrying the burden of others with you, like I've already committed to this, you've got to talk to those people. If they knew the whole situation, for all you know, they also are just going through the motions but have been called to do other things. And they just feel committed to you because they've said, oh, we'll do this together, or we'll, you know, start this business in 3 years. So now I feel stuck here even though I really want to go do this, but I told them I'd do it. And for all you know, they're thinking the same thing, like, oh, but I told so-and-so I would do this. It is crazy what could be squandered away in not speaking your truth because you're afraid of what the reaction is going to be, but you don't know it. Don't try to assume you already know how someone's going to feel because they might have their own layers of feeling stuck as well. And if you're feeling that way, all the more that it could be a sign, you know, higher power saying, hey, talk about it. Talk about this. You know what I mean? Bring it up. You don't know what has been laid on in front of them that they've turned down for you. And that's just such a loss. So yeah, if things feel messy, try to fix the mess. And when you don't know how to fix the mess, try to involve other people or by just communicating, you know, try to reveal more about why you're feeling the way you are. Anytime there's conflict, I would say, look at what haven't you said. Anytime there's conflict, just immediately, what haven't I told them? Because there's got to be like a way, because that's when empathy kicks in. You know, people can't empathize with your plight if they don't know it. So if you are fighting with somebody or arguing around a topic or not seeing eye to eye or disagreeing, it is likely because you were not clear. You know, and I always think I'm so clear. And it's like, then I look back in hindsight and go, oh my gosh, I was not clear at all. I was clear on what I wanted. I'm very clear on my boundaries and those walls. I'm not always clear about why I've put them there or why they exist or what it is I actually need from a situation. And so learn from me on this one. You know, if there are boundaries and things, it's great that you speak on those, but that's not the important part that can fix things. It's the why. Why have you put those boundaries up? Why do you feel this way? Same for the other person involved. Like, why are you maybe resisting, or why are you not seeing it from the other person's perspective? What is it from your end that won't work? That won't work for me because what? you know, like speak up, because in holding this stuff so close, you're just going to be denying yourself of happiness. And there's just, you know, there's no benefit to it, you know? And when you think you've already communicated clearly, put yourself in the other person's point of view, because I will say I've done this a lot lately, and hindsight has taught me a lot, you know, and I'm still feeling guilty about this whole move that I accidentally announced. You know, this has come back to me, guys. This has been a week for me of people. The crazy part is, on my Facebook post, I got a lot of responses from people sort of like the next rung down. My closest people approached me in texts, phone calls, Messenger, and were like, "Why? Wait, what?" And I have been a little astonished, because why would I make an announcement like that without talking to them first? And that's valid. So for those of you that are listening on here, because I know a few of you do, I'm sorry for that. That was never my intention, and I definitely didn't plan to sort of make an announcement. I guess I think my heart had already decided, and so when I started talking, that came out clearly. And now I've retreated, and I'm not talking to anybody. I have said nothing to anybody. Like every text I've received, phone call, whatever, I have shut it down, because the truth of the matter is I'm not ready to talk about it yet. I'm not fully decided. The plan is not fully out there and rolled out. I had some interesting offers in Oahu that came up this week. Ugh, it's so weird how life happens. And, you know, I still have my heart in the Big Island because of personally, like one of the things, because everybody keeps asking me that too, and I keep saying, oh, it's more of a phone call, and then I'm like not hopping on the phone and discussing it. But the Big Island is beautiful for like feeling connected to the land and the people, and for the size of it, the population, it doesn't feel overcrowded and city like. It feels like that same hometown, small town feel that I'm used to. But I don't necessarily love the weather or the the lack of access, I guess, to the ocean. Because to me, the big pull for an island is to be ocean access. And Oahu offers a lot more of that. And actually, cost-wise, it's crazy, but it's been cheaper for me looking at Oahu, even though they always say the Big Island's more affordable. I don't know. So I don't know the answer to any of those things. I don't know the timelines. Everybody's asking me very specific details about the when and and everybody all of a sudden, you know, is interested in my properties. I don't even want to talk about it. That's where I'm at. And so here I am talking about communication. And the reason I'm not communicating is because I don't have all the answers. All I have is question marks still. I took a trip to get more answers and I came back with more questions. But I'm getting closer and clearer. And as long as you're making forward motion towards an end goal, the chips sort of fall in line, and you know what I mean? It falls where it should. And I know I'll end up in the right place at the right time. There's a lot of other things that could change my mind at any given point, but I'm trying to make the right decision for not just one person, but three. And actually a lot more than that, because of all my friends and family that will be affected by this decision. So there's a lot of things I still don't know. And so, you know, when you feel that way, like you're in a decision-making mode, again, the people that will be affected, sometimes just communicating it with them probably will help. So I'm talking to myself as much as you right now, that the more I speak these worries or whatever to my closest people, the more I might get answers, you know, as to where I should go and what I should do and all that. So maybe I will try to heed my own advice this week and talk a little more, but sometimes, you know, it may be even just me communicating, hey, it's just because I'm pulling inward to make some big decisions. I'll let you know once I know, would give them peace of mind that I'm not blocking them out. I'm not reducing our friendship to not valuable enough for them to be a part of knowing what's happening. It's that I don't know what's happening. So again, my communication around that could be better. And in doing that, all my relationships and bonds and friendships and family and all that would be better, because they wouldn't feel like I'm just trying to leave them out of it. So do you see where that can get so messy? And really, it's nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with me and my feeling of not knowing right now. So yeah, I think, guys, I went all over the place, but I think you get where I'm going today. It's communicate. It's keep the message clear. It's telling your people who matter to you all the important things, so you never look back and say, well, I should have told them this. You know, just keep those lines of communication just nice and clear, honest, speak from your heart. And usually that's where resolution comes in, because when you can understand somebody and why they're doing what they're doing, it is so much easier to empathize with why they're doing it and to maybe even, you know, figure out something that's going to work for everybody involved. So keep those questions rolling. I appreciate it so much. I am super grateful all of a sudden Canada showed up on scene, by the way. So if you're from Canada, thank you for listening, because all of a sudden I got a big influx from Canada. So that makes me happy, and I appreciate everybody who tunes in to listen every week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week, guys. Thanks for joining.